going back over the course of this past week, it's been a story of more strong data out of the US, more signs from US corporates too that profits, just about for everybody, are running stronger than pretty optimistic expectations. But if we look at some of the economic numbers over this past week, some of the more stunning ones, you know, we had April consumer confidence came out and it lifted. They thought it'd lift again. It had a huge lift the month before, where it went all the way up to 109, and they thought maybe we'll get to 112. Well, it went up to 121.7. So, you know, they're happy as US consumers at this point. It's partly the economic program, but also the vaccination rate is now quite high in the United States and is allowing things to open up pretty fast too, which is adding to that confidence that's coming through. Also, some of the other data which were truly stunning, you know, we had things like March personal income came out, and for the month of March, they thought the lift would be 20% month on month. With all those government payments, it was 21.1%. So just a huge lift, and it reflected in personal spending, which is up 4.2% for the month as well. We also had the first look at Q1 GDP out in the United States, and that accelerated more than expected. So it was already at 4.3% annualized, going back to Q4 last year. They thought they'd get up a bit above 6 to 6.1%. It went all the way up to 6.4%. And it was largely driven by real consumer spending. Real consumer spending was 10.7% annualized growth. That jumped from 2.3% annualized growth going back the quarter before. So you can see where the power of this recovery is coming through in the United States. And it's almost a virtuous circle where, you know, they spend more businesses employ. And we'll get a look at non-farm payrolls, which I'll mention in a minute, and go into the data for this week. But you know, obviously, this is really starting to motor along and keeping the recovery going. Adding to this, of course, we have the Fed. And now, inside the GDP numbers, one of the more interesting figures there was the GDP price deflator, which is an alternative inflation measure to the CPI. Remember that the CPI had lifted to 2.6% year-on-year, going back to the month of March. Well, the GDP deflator went up from 1.9% year-on-year, going back to Q4, to 4.1%. Normally, that would set alarm bells ringing that, you know, you've got a bit of inflation coming through with what's happening here with the strength of the US economic recovery. The Fed's just ignoring it. And it was more upbeat about the US economy, but it doubled down on its view that it's going to be holding interest rates down. Now, remember that earlier, you know, the Fed had moved towards an average inflation target, so that gave it the leeway anyway to ignore inflation moving above target for a period. They're always going to be more reactive than proactive in this coming cycle, but it was just this strong confirmation coming through the Fed meeting that they will be holding rates down into this recovery. You know, this is where there's a lot of sustainability in this, where we should expect more of these sort of very, very strong numbers to come through. One other number I should mention is just on the manufacturing side, which has been right at the leading edge of all this. And so the manufacturing heartland of the US is around the Great Lakes. So we had the Chicago Purchasing Managers Index, the regional one there for April. And for the first time ever, it went above 70. So it was at 66.3 going back the month before. That was really high, and the market thought, well, it's got to pull back. It'll go back to about 65.5. It went up to 72.1. So yeah, these are stunningly high numbers now and suggest that, you know, we've still got a lot of strength running ahead. This week out in the United States, where we'll see it in spades this week is when we get to the non-farm payrolls right at the end of the week. So on Friday, we have the non-farm payrolls coming out. And at this stage, the market, we had a huge rise in non-farm payrolls going back to March, where they rose by 916,000. The market is looking for a 978,000 lift. There's a very real chance that they get over a million for non-farm payrolls. And as a result of that, they're expecting the unemployment rate to come down from 6% to around 5.7%. So a good deal of strength running through that as well. We'll also get the ISM manufacturing survey coming out, and also the non-manufacturing ISM survey coming out on Monday and Thursday night. The manufacturing survey out tonight is expected to lift from, it was already a very high reading of 64.7, is expected to go to 65, and if anything, that looks too pessimistic on some of the regional indicators we've had, and that could fly through that, so it would be into really high territory. And on Wednesday night, the ISM non-manufacturing survey, which was at 63.7, going back to March, looks as if it's going to come in well above 64. The market thinks 64.3, but again, yeah, I think we'll probably get some upside surprises on those numbers as well as we go through. The economy, which is moving well, but nowhere near as strongly as the US, is China. So this week, or last week in China, yeah, we had the manufacturing PMI came out, the services sector PMI for the month of April. We also had the cakes in manufacturing PMI. The official manufacturing PMI came back a bit to 51.1 from 51.9. The services sector one was at 56.3, a very strong reading, came back to 54.9. And the cakes in report came in for the manufacturing PMI, actually went up from 50.6 to 51.9. A good reading, but not exceptional like the numbers we're getting out of the US. And this is a very key difference in this economic recovery compared to the economic recovery we had coming out of the global financial crisis. Going back to the global financial crisis, it was China that led the way out with their spending programs. Other countries did spend, but nothing like what the US is doing this time around. And in the case of Europe, of course, they got frightened by it all and moved to fiscal consolidation very, very quickly. So it was a more muted response led by China. This time around, leading us out of this is pretty much the US. With massive lift in fiscal spend, you know, it's now up at around 16% of GDP, way above what China did after the global financial crisis. So this is the power of the recovery, which we're seeing coming through now. It's very much led by the US. So you should expect at times this year, the US, for the first time in 25 years, will be showing stronger economic growth numbers than China. Now, that is quite exceptional. It won't last much into 2022, but it's something you won't see again probably in our lifetime. So this is something, you know, quite different. Australia last week, and we had a lot of price data coming through. We had the CPI came out, and it was genuinely a bit of a surprise because it actually, it was low, but it didn't quite get up to where the market was expecting. So we had market expectations 0.9% quarter on quarter. We got 0.6. So as a result of that, the annual rate lifted from 0.9 to 1.1. The underlying inflation rate too, the market was looking for 0.5% on both the trim mean and the weighted median quarter on quarter. We got 0.3 and 0.4%. So they're holding in the low ones for the time being. It's pretty important because what that means is, you know, the RBA can still run that line that it can hold the cash rate down all the way up to 2024. It hasn't been proved wrong by these numbers. It probably will be in numbers that come in the future, but it's got another 3 months at least where it can actually hold that line, where it's saying that, you know, basically we've got a booming economy, but we're going to be holding them we're going to be holding the cash rate down. The following day, we had export prices and import prices. Export prices for the first quarter lifted by 11.2% quarter on quarter. That was after lifting 5.5% quarter on quarter the quarter before. So, yeah, exporters are literally going gangbusters, and one of the key prices in here has been the iron ore price. And this brings us forward a bit to, you know, the budget that's coming out, not this week, but next week. And the budget last year came out in October. And at the time they thought that the budget deficit was going to be running to over $200 billion in this current financial year. But one of the key prices underpinning that budget forecast was the iron ore price, because it's very much related to company tax take, particularly from the resource companies. And going back to this time last year, they thought that the iron ore price would be $55 a tonne for this year. It's just gone through $200 a tonne. So that is a massive windfall for the government. And I've just seen the early ones of the Economist forecast for the budget. And that $210 billion budget deficit that was forecast in October last year is coming in around the $140 billion mark. In other words, it's more than $63 billion better. And that's notwithstanding the fact that the government's been spending a lot more in bits and pieces too. And we heard from the Treasurer over the last few days that he's not going to be really winding back on the fiscal stimulus and the spending. There's going to be some a bit of spending there for childcare and all sorts of other bits and pieces to help boost the economic recovery when the budget comes out. So we got this strong government stimulus here, but we've also got this added benefit that they're getting a bit of a windfall on the other side, and it's actually a pretty contained budget by comparison with most other countries into this booming economy. So it's giving a little bit of leeway. Just this week in Australia, today we'll have ANZ job ads. These have been lifting very, very sharply too. Going back last month, they lifted 7.4% month on month. They'll probably do at least that again this most recent month. There's evidence of labour market shortages developing almost everywhere at the moment. And this is frictional pressure, where a lot of the people who got laid off during the pandemic haven't got quite the skill base that's needed to fill the jobs that are coming. We're missing all the migrants, so we can't stopgap some of these jobs. That's especially true of healthcare aged care and those sorts of areas, which are highly dependent on bringing in a lot of skilled labour from overseas. You can't necessarily put the unemployed straight into those jobs for obvious reasons. Job vacancies are lifting everywhere, putting some pressure into some of those markets. The RBA meeting is tomorrow. And basically they'll be saying that they're still going to be keeping interest rates down until 2024, that they'll feel a bit vindicated, that they think that inflation's all to do with wages, that wages are going to stay down for quite some time to come. That bit I don't believe, but it's still going to take time to prove that. And they'll follow it up with the quarterly monetary policy statement on Friday. And the quarterly monetary policy statement will again upgrade economic growth forecasts. It will lower forecast unemployment rates. It's done this quarter in, quarter out now, where it's just chalk and cheese when you look at the current forecasts that they've got compared with what they had going back 9 months ago. When we were talking about unemployment, which at that point they were thinking would be over 10% at this point, we're now in the fives and going lower. We've never seen forecasts so out as the official forecasts have been over the course of this past year, and it's all on the upside in terms of the power of the economic recovery. Some of the other figures we'll get this week, we'll get March housing finance coming out. Probably quite a lift in that, given that the housing market's still running. It is just starting to temper off a little bit, but not dramatically, in terms of the price pressure, because there's a lot more stock coming on. Generally speaking, the housing market is in fine form at the moment and doing well. We'll have international trade data. We're likely to run an $8 billion trade surplus for the month of March compared to the $7.5 billion surplus the month before. Exports are booming, so that's going very, very well. We have home building approvals coming out on Wednesday. And this one, we had a 21.6% month-on-month increase in home building approvals going back to the month of February. Market thinks we'll get another 3% on top of that. So home building approvals picking up very, very fast. And I'll say we'll end the week with the quarterly monetary policy statement. In Europe last week, Yeah, most of the indicators are coming out a little bit on the better side of expectations. So we had the April Business and Consumer Confidence survey, and this is a mixture of business and consumer confidence. It was at 100.9 going back to March. They thought it'd lift to 103. It lifted to 110.3. So, you know, there's some signs that Europe's starting to really lift in these leading indicators. We also had the March unemployment rate, and that came down more than the market expected, down to 8.1% from a revised 8.2%. It was at 8.3% the month before. And we also had Q1 GDP. And Q1 GDP, continental Europe is one of the few places that's had a double dip recession coming out of the pandemic. And so Q1 GDP was expected to be down about 0.8% quarter on quarter. It was down 0.6% quarter on quarter. That was after being down 0.7% the quarter before. The annual change has moderated from minus 4.9% year on year to minus 1.8% year on year on those numbers. So, you know, Europe with its problems getting vaccines out, its internal arguments about policy responses, and of course its periodic quite substantial lockdowns has had a far worse outcome than many other areas around the world. But it will be in catch-up as we get into the summer months there, going through the later part of this year. And this week in Europe, we haven't got much. We've got producer prices coming out. They will be lifting. It'll be up about 4% year on year compared with 1.5% going back the month before. And retail sales, which have been lifting, actually. They were up 3% going back month on month, going back to February. They expect to lift another 1.4% on top. But broadly speaking, we've still got a lot of strength running through at the moment. It's still favouring risk assets. One of the true surprises we've had over recent weeks is that bond yields have held down, longer-term government bond yields. And that's largely because we've got central banks who are not blinking. You know, they're still saying that they're going to be holding official rates low for quite a long time to come. And at least for the RBA, you know, they had a little bit of help from a lower-than-expected CPI and underlying inflation that came out last week.